goes, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? For our scripture reading this evening, I'd like to turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Apologize, I didn't get the number out of the Pew Bible, but it's Psalm 143. Everybody got it? Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness and your righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. The enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, our gracious Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for this time we can spend together and look into your word. And we've sung your praises, and we just are a privileged people. Thank you. I pray that now you would open our heart wide to these very important verses from your word. We praise you. We want you to be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Objectives can easily be lost. They slowly erode and suddenly explode. Have you noticed? To illustrate how this can happen, consider this actual experience one man had in the Deep South. He says, "When I lived in Atlanta several years ago, I noticed in the Yellow Pages," this dates this article pretty good, doesn't it? "I noticed in the Yellow Pages in the listing of restaurants an entry for a place called Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused my curiosity, and I dialed the number. A man answered with a cheery, 'Hello, Church of God Grill.' I asked how his restaurant had been given such an unusual name. And he told me, 'Well, we had a little mission down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. Well, people like the chicken. And we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church service. After a while, we just closed down the church altogether and kept on serving the chicken dinners. We kept the name we started with, and that's Church of God Grill.'" That can happen. That can happen to us as individuals, in our individual lives. It can happen to a church. It can happen in so many ways. We've been working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we come to this section where he's giving us these two verses of just such powerful, strong commands that we need to take a good look at. They will serve to remind us we need to keep our focus. With that in mind, Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Now, this is really the last exposition that I plan to do in 1 Corinthians. Next week, I plan to do a broad, sweeping recap of the whole book, 1 Corinthians, all the way from 1 through 16, just like everything we've been through in the last few years, just working through this text. And then, since most of you want to know what am I going to do next, the natural thing to do is just continue on in 2 Corinthians. So that's what I plan to do as well. In 2 weeks, I hope to be in 2 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Those are some amazing and very strong commands from Paul in these two short verses. Let's read them again. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Five commands for extremely powerful living in the Lord. Five commands. All right, let's get into this. Live powerful for the Lord as you learn to be on the alert. Be on the alert. These are all positive commands. Paul has rebuked the Corinthians from this often in this letter. We've seen this so many times as we've worked our way through it. They were having numerous problems with many fleshly concerns, and the majority of the letter has been Paul's correction and instruction to them. But here in this verse, we have a great summation of how to live the Christian life. And each one of these is an imperative. It's a command. You know, like mom says, don't take a cookie from the cookie jar. That's a command. And if you do, you can expect the Board of Education applied to your seat of knowledge, right? It's a command to be obeyed. And here in these two verses, we have five such commands to be obeyed. And when we obey them, we will be truly useful for our Lord and be able to live out an obedient life. So what does it mean to be on the alert? The Greek word has the idea of being watchful, vigilant, warrior, or alert. These are words that you might find about a guard who's on duty and is in charge of alerting the garrison when an enemy is approaching. It's a powerful word, and Paul is using it to command us how we are to be. So what are we to be alert against? Well, there's so many verses in the New Testament that actually spell that out, like Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, says that we are to be alert and watchful because we don't know on what day our Lord is coming. I think we can look at the times of our day and we can see the Lord's coming is near. We should be watchful and we should be alert to that end. Ephesians 6:18 says that we, with prayer and petition, we are to pray at all times and be on alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. So in that verse, we learn we should be alert and look out for needs within the church and what we ought to be praying for each other for. Things we ought to be watchful and alert for. Constantly alert, constantly looking for these things to be prayed for. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, Paul warns us to not get surprised by the thief. Rather be alert and watchful of the times. We're living in pretty perilous times, aren't we? Well, no, not yet. We don't have to worry about our physical well-being, at least mostly in most places in the United States. But you know, it was about 12 years ago at this time that the President of the United States announced that he was in favor of gay marriage. Where has the country gone in the last 12 years? All downhill. It's been bad. One thing after another, just boom, boom, boom. And now we can't even tell the difference between boys and girls. Look how we've fallen as a nation. Our government seems to just keep continuing on in evil. These are the times when people are rejecting God's word at a higher rate than ever before, at least in our country. I hear that other countries in the world, it's been this bad for a long time, but wow. Question is, how long can God tarry in his judgments? You and I need to be watchful. We need to be on the alert. We need to pray for others that they won't be taken in by these things. We need a quick... Who is it among us who needs a quick word of encouragement? That should be us, that we are quick to encourage. Do we see opportunities for evangelism? How can we build up the body? Service for Christ really comes down to two things, evangelism and the building up of the body, and we need to pray that those things are getting done. We are commanded to be on the alert. That's all he says in this verse. Be on the alert. Live powerful for the Lord as you learn to be on the alert. Now, secondly, he says, stand firm in the faith. And by the way, I'm going to say this again in a few minutes, but each one of these is an imperative that's plural. So if I was from the South, I would say, you all. You all need to be on the alert. You all need to stand firm in the faith. You all need to act like men. You all need to be strong. You all need to be let all that you do be done in love. It's a plural. So it's not addressing any individual. It's addressing each and every one of us. The whole church. You all of us. So just keep that in mind as we work our way through this. You all stand firm in the faith. Well, what does it mean to stand firm? Stand firm means exactly what it says, the ability to stand and to not fall. Remember tussling with a kid on the playground years ago when I was in junior high. He was pushing me all over the place because I had slippery shoes on, couldn't stand firm, couldn't hold my ground, couldn't plant my feet. Shouldn't have been fighting with him to begin with, but that's a different story, a different time. Remember climbing the mountains in Israel. Some others had tennis shoes on. And on these steep, mountainous paths. And their shoes were slipping, you know. And I had hiking boots on. And wow, the difference. Those boots would just grip, you know, and hold fast. That's the idea. Here in this context, it has the idea of keeping one standing or to maintain your allegiance. Our allegiance is always to the Lord Jesus. The implication is to be in constant fellowship with Him, to stake your stand and to stand firm and not slip and not give in. Stand firm in the faith. As the idea is knowing the truth and sticking to it. There is only one faith. You know, I like to phrase it like this. There's God's way and then there's everything else. There's only two ways of looking at things, God's way and everything else. And if you summarize it that way, it makes things a whole lot simpler because we need to be a people that are about finding God's way and searching for God's truth and holding to that no matter what. If you have any doubts, Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith." The faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. There is only one faith. It's that body of truth that we are to learn and grow in. It's that body of truth that we are to learn to obey and submit ourselves to it. Paul says, stand firm in the faith, you all. Place your allegiance to that faith. Make up your mind to stand firm in it. No matter what. No matter what. Live powerful for the Lord as you learn to be on the alert. Secondly, stand firm in the faith. Now thirdly, be mature. Act like men. What does it mean to act like men? The King James Version says, quit you like men, whereas most of the other reputable English translations say, act like men. That's more the idea in the original, act like men. The idea is to act like men, act mature, stop acting childish spiritually. It's time to act like a mature adult. And you know, I don't mind saying this in our culture and in our day right now. Women should act like women. Men should act like men. It's time for maturity. Let's find our roles in the Scriptures and then let's act that way and let's live those ways. There's nothing wrong with being a man. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. This is the way God made us. Let's live out the roles that He's given us. Put away childish things. But it does phrase it in the masculine. It does say, act like men. So even though I'm sure there's an application here for the women, that women should act like women, and you should draw applications from that, but it is specifically talking to the men. When there's a job to do, there's times when you need to send the men to get it done. You know the old saying, don't send a boy to do a man's job, and that's the sense here too. What are you going to start doing? When are you going to start doing the job you're supposed to be doing? When is the time to start acting like men? It's time for the men to take up their roles as men and get it done. Men need to take the lead in their families. They need to take the lead in getting their families to church to make sure their children are being taught. Preaching to the choir tonight, I know. Men need to take leadership in the church to promote a godly atmosphere. They should set the tone for godliness and encourage those around them for obedience. Today, in our day, it's usually the men who are clowning around, not taking things seriously. I want to say this. I fight with this all the time at Challenge Machinery. I love the place. I love the work environment. But when we have our engineering meetings, there is so much clowning around that a two-hour meeting could easily have been done in 10 minutes. And so, I mean, I struggle with that. I just sit there most of the time just waiting for my turn. What I have to say takes 2 minutes. But oftentimes with all the interruptions and all the clowning around that goes on, my part will take 20 or 30. Men, we need to act like men. We need to take things seriously. We need to quit all the clowning around, all the joking. I mean, there are times for humor, and there's times when we can joke and have fun. But on the other hand, are there not times when we need to take things seriously and be leaders and be men and do the job that has to get done? We do. And the church needs us to be men. Even though the culture is falling apart and teaching men to be something else, I'm not quite sure what the culture is teaching us to be, but it's certainly not to be strong leaders. But the Scriptures say that men should lead and be strong in the faith. And that's what he's saying here. Act like men. Should be the men that are out in front spiritually setting the example for others to follow. Men need to be students of the Word. We need to study it. We need to obey it. We need to lead others to do the same. The head of the house needs to be strong and provide for his wife and children, not only the physical provisions, but the spiritual provisions as well. Men, does your wife have what she needs to raise the children and to work with them? And you need to be involved with that as well. Women need to be mature and act like women. That's also implied from the text. Stop behaving like boys and girls. Act like men. Live powerful for the Lord as you learn to be on the alert, as you learn to stand firm in the Lord, as you be mature and act like men or act like women. Now, fourthly, seek God's strengthening. See what he says there? Act like men. Be strong. Be strong. What does it mean to be strong? The word meaning is really quite simple. It means to be strong or to possess power. In other contexts, it has the idea to take control or to hold fast. can mean to keep. But here's where the difference is. We have to understand the tense. Okay? I learned this long ago in seminary. Most of the significant parts of grammar study is not gained in just understanding the word meaning. You can spend all kinds of time looking it up in the lexicon and understanding that. But the structure of the sentence, that's where most of the meaning is gained, and that's here too. Now, hold on. I talked about this morning. Sometimes I try to simplify this as best I can, but the verb is a present passive imperative, second person plural. Now, most of you are saying, what in the world are you talking about? And that's okay. I'm glad you're asking that question. Very important to get this. In fact, like I said earlier, all of the verbs in these two verses are plural. They're all talking about you all. You should all do this. Be on the alert, stand firm. You all act like men. You all be strong. All be on the alert, so on. He's addressing everyone, all Christians, with the exception maybe for the women acting like men, but at least act mature like women. Don't behave like little girls. These are all present tense verbs. Now, what that means is that these are supposed to be lifestyle kinds of commands. This is how you live all the time. But always be on the alert. Always stand firm in the faith. Always act like men. Always be strong. They're the present tense. They're ongoing verbs. This is how we live. This is how we should live all the time. It should be a regular practice for believers. But this verb, so far, is the only one. This is a passive. What's the significance of that? Good. I'm glad you're asking that question. It's important to get this because it looks like, for whatever reason, none of the English translations I looked at translated it as a passive. It's always telling you to be strong. Okay. The passive is when something outside the subject is doing the action. I use this illustration often. If you say, I throw the ball, that's an active verb. If you say the ball was thrown, that's a passive verb, and something outside of the sentence is doing the action. This is a passive verb. And it's more the idea of being strengthened. So, in this case here in 1 Corinthians 16:13, it should read, be strengthened. Act, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strengthened. And who's doing the strengthening? Obviously, God. Obviously, the Lord is doing the strengthening. And that's the idea behind it, is we should be constantly, totally dependent upon Him for the strength to do these things. And it leaps off the page in the original. So who is doing the strengthening? Let's get back to that. The obvious implication that we're being strengthened by God. We need to be in a continual state of seeking His enablement. We understand that it's the Holy Spirit working within us that empowers us to live this life. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember when Jesus said He would send the Helper who would come alongside to help and encourage us? Asking to be strong in the spirit and the inner man should be a regular part of our prayer life. God, I need you. God, please enable me. In this case, Lord, I need to be on the alert. I need to stand firm in the faith. I need to act like a man. Strengthen me, oh God. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power. And of course, this isn't a unique verse in the New Testament. It's all over the place. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And then he continues to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Remember that? 2 Timothy 2:1, be strengthened. That's another passive verb. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in the grace, if you take into account the passive. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. I love this verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. What do you lack that you don't have in Jesus Christ? You've got it all. You've got Him. His divine power has granted to us everything. Everything that we need to live out the Christian life. All of these verses have a common theme, and I'm sure you could think of many more too as you're sitting there thinking about this. We need to be a people that are strengthened by the strength that only God can supply. Utter dependence on Him. Depend on Him. Ask Him for the strength you need, and He will not fail you. Live powerful for the Lord as you learn to be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be mature. Act like men. Seek God's strengthening. And now fifthly, verse 14, do everything in love. Do it all in love. What's the command? Do it all in love. Now, you know this, when Jesus was asked what the highest command of the law was, what did He say? Golden rule, right? What is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? And the second is like it. What's that? I can't hear you, but I think you're saying it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All I hear was... It's got to be my ears, right? I'm sure it's my ears. Here Paul is giving us all in a nutshell in these two verses much of what it means to be a Christian. So of course, he has to conclude it by saying, walk in love. Got to be done in love. The command to love in everything that we do, and it is agape love. What is so significant about agape love anyway? Agape love stands out as a Christian love because it's a love of choice. You don't love because of your great feelings. You love because your moral intellect has determined from the Word of God that this is the right thing to do. And so that dictates what you're going to do. It's a love of choice. If we waited till we felt like it, we probably never would do it. You choose to do these things because it's right. You choose to love as an act of the will, not necessarily because you felt like loving. It's the most powerful kind of love of all, because the mind, under the enablement of the Holy Spirit, is choosing to do the right thing on behalf of someone else. Powerful. It's powerful. Paul says everything must be done in love. Everything? Yeah, that's what he says. Let all that you do. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? Very inclusive command. Let all that you do, not some things, not just a few things. The goal is all things. There's no room in our life for doing things out of guilt or begrudgingly. It implies cheerfulness, rejoicing in our hearts. If we're loving someone, it should reflect in our attitude and our actions how we're doing it. Love is the highest calling for the Christian. Remember, we studied this not too long ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wasn't that implied that we're going to walk according to love? He's telling us here, everything we should do should be done in love and to God's glory. All right. I would expect, if I were to ask you right now, how many of you want to live a powerful Christian life for Jesus? I would hope that every hand would go up. At least half the hands. Right? Yes. But like we've seen in the past, understand what I'm saying here. There has to be a kind of violence about it. Now, understand what I mean by that. The Puritans used to talk about taking heaven by force. In other words, there has to be a determined in your mind, I will do this thing. I'm going to do it. Make up your mind. It's going to be so. It's like, well, if I can be alert when I think about it. You know, no. We need to make up our mind. I will be alert. I'm going to stand firm in the faith. I'm going to act like a man. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Make up your mind. This is what we're going to do. So that's what I mean by kind of a violence. Not a physical violence. No, not at all like that. But just kind of it's a word that I want to use just to drive it home. To say this is what we must do. It's a determined making up of your mind that I will live God's way no matter what. So help me God. This is a very important verse to remember because really so much of the Christian life is summed up right here in these two verses. Paul did an excellent job writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These two verses are a brief, concise summation of the Christian life. Be on the alert. You all, be on the alert. Each one of us, plural. Be watchful of things that need spiritual attention. Be quick to help. You all, stand firm in the faith. There is one faith, once and for all delivered to the saints. We're to be earnest, stand fast, firm in that faith. Don't get sidetracked with so many people that will say, oh, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? No. There's one faith. It's the Lord's faith, and we need to be about it. Be mature. Stop acting like boys or girls. Act like men, Paul says in the text. And by inference, I think the ladies should act like women. We could have a whole series on that, couldn't we? How our culture has so horribly diminished women's roles in the family and in the church. It's horrible what our culture has done. Now, ladies, act like women. Men, act like men. Let's take up our roles and do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul. In application, I'd say to the men, be strong in your leadership. Use your God-given roles as men to lead your families toward higher and higher paths of righteousness. Family devotions. Teach your children the Bible. This is men's work. We don't have to always leave it to the women. You all, seek God's strengthening. Instead of saying be strong, I would say be strengthened. And that is a constant reminder, I must depend upon the Lord all the time for strength to live this way. There is no possible way I can live like this in my own help, my own strength. Can't be done. And that's why I think it's important to translate that as a passive verb. We need to be strengthened. The last one, do it all in love. This needs to be a way of thinking for us that permeates everything we do. We want to worship and adore God. We want to build up other believers. That's love in a nutshell. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this challenge from the Apostle Paul. Thank you for these very important commands here. I pray that you would help us, strengthen us so that we can do this, that we can live this out as only you can enable us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for these strong commands from the Apostle Paul. May we put it into practice. Show us those ways that we're falling down and not keeping this, not obeying. Make it clear to us. Show us the ways that we can put it into practice. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. We do praise you in Jesus' name.